Today I would like you to turn in your Bible to the Gospel written by Luke. Luke chapter 23 at verse 39. Luke 23 verse 39. Let's read these few verses together. "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we, indeed, justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Now, most of you are familiar with this scripture. The Lord Jesus Christ was crucified at Calvary, and on the right and left hand of the Lord Jesus Christ were two thieves nailed and crucified with the Lord of glory. Now, throughout the scripture, there are many examples of sovereign grace, the sovereign grace of God shown to guilty sinners. We see this all the way through the Bible. God saved Noah and his family while the multitude of the world perished without hope. Here's another example. God called Abraham out of idolatry while the rest of his family died in heathen idolatry. God removed Lot and his family from Sodom while he rained fire on those who were left behind. God blessed and loved Jacob while Esau found no way of repentance. The Lord saved a God-hater named Saul of Tarsus while his Pharisee friends died in their rebellion. God had mercy on Peter while he left Judas in his own wicked devices and to his own wicked heart. Now, in each of these cases, ask yourself this question. Who made the difference? Who made the difference? If you believe the difference was because of the person, it's obvious that you believe that salvation is by merit and works and something that is earned and not the grace and mercy of God in Christ Jesus. The distinguishing difference whether a man is saved or lost is found only in the sovereign grace and purpose of God. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. It's God who shows mercy. Now, the clearest example of this basic biblical truth is found in the case of this dying thief. Here's a glorious example of God's sovereign mercy. Why was the Lord of glory crucified between two thieves? Well, two reasons. To fulfill all scriptures, and secondly, to display in the plainest way how God saves sinners. The case of both of these thieves were desperate. They were both guilty. Both were dying. Both were in urgent need of mercy. Yet only one called on the Lord for mercy. Only one was granted faith and repentance. Only one was taken to glory. Now, again, who made the difference? We read in the scripture, it's God who made the difference. Now, in this text, there are four things revealed unto us, clearly revealed about this man's salvation. First of all, we see his faith. His faith. His faith was an operation of the Spirit of God. At first, both of these thieves railed on the Lord, but God granted this sinner faith. It pleased God in his infinite mercy to give this man faith to believe. Faith is not something that's native to the wicked heart. Faith is a spiritual grace, the fruit of a spiritual nature. It's plainly the sovereign right and the gift of God to give this faith to whom He will. God gave one thief, granted him faith, and left the other one to himself. The second thing about his faith we see is this. His faith had one distinct object. He fixed his heart and eye on the Lord Himself. He put his total confidence of his salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Now, often people are confused as to the strength and merit of faith. They find no assurance and no peace because they look everywhere rather than looking to Him. They look to an experience or look to ceremony or tradition rather than looking to Christ. My friend, true faith, God-given faith, is focused totally upon a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, "I know whom I have believed." The believer's faith is totally dependent for all things in salvation on the Lord Jesus Christ, and it totally rests in Him. We say with Paul, we worship God in the Spirit, we rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh. The exhortation of Scripture is look unto Christ. Look unto Him. The second thing we see about this man's conversion, his confession of faith. He had faith and he confessed it in the Lord Jesus Christ. He confessed, first of all, fear and respect and reverence for Almighty God. He said to that other thief, "Don't you fear God?" None of the Pharisees or this other thief or the soldiers showed any respect for the Lord. They mocked him and laughed at him and put him to scorn and railed on him. My friend, true faith confesses holy fear before God. True faith says, "Holy and reverent is His name." You see the confession of his faith? He feared the Lord. The second thing we see that his faith confessed, he confessed his own sinful condition. He knew he was getting what he deserved. Did you notice what he said? He said to the other thief, "Don't you fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds." This man knew, and he confessed his sinful heart and sinful nature and condition before God. He knew he was getting what he deserved. True faith has a right view of God, a right view of self. Those who God saves know that they are guilty before God. They've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. They know what they are by nature, born in sin, shapen in iniquity, and they know what they have earned. The wages of sin is death. He confessed that he was a sinner. And that's a confession of true faith. Thirdly, we see this. He confessed the sinlessness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "This man hath done nothing amiss." He confessed Christ as his substitute, as his Savior. Although the Lord of glory is suffering for the sin of his people, dying as their substitute to put away their sin, he was a spotless Lamb of God, who had no sin, knew no sin, and did no sin. He's the just one. He suffered once for our sins, the just, dying for the unjust that he might bring us unto God. He was not only born sinless, but his whole life he honored and magnified and obeyed the holy law of God in word, thought, and deed, and in doing so performed righteousness for us. That's what this thief was confessing unto the Lord. "Lord, you're the sinless substitute. You're the Savior. You've done nothing amiss." Something else he confessed was this. He confessed him as Lord. He addressed him in verse 42. He said, "Jesus, Lord. Lord." He confessed him as his, not only his Savior, but as his Lord. What a miracle of grace this is. The Lord Jesus Christ, at this time when he was crucified and beaten and rejected of men, he certainly didn't look like Lord, like the Lord and the King of a kingdom. He was beaten and mutilated and bloody and nailed to a tree. And yet this man, this thief, who was saved by God's grace, fixed his eye and his heart on him and called him and confessed that he is Lord. True faith has a new eye, has a new vision, that sees things as they really are. We see the Lord Jesus Christ. True faith confesses Christ as Lord of all things by the eternal, unchanging decree of God. God decreed Him to be Lord. He's not Lord by something we do. God made Him Lord and Christ. And true faith confesses, as this thief did, Jesus Christ to be the absolute Lord of glory. Something else we see the prayer of faith. Not only the confession of faith, but the prayer of faith. In verse 42, notice, he said unto the Lord Jesus Christ, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Here's a prayer of faith. The other thief cried out, "If you be the Christ, save thyself and us." He cried out for temporary relief from physical pain. However, the repentant thief, whom God saved by His grace, only cried out for spiritual blessings. "Lord, when you come into your kingdom, Lord, remember me." That was a humble prayer, wasn't it? He didn't ask for great advancement in the kingdom. Just simply, "Lord, remember. Remember me." To be remembered by the Lord of glory in loving kindness and grace is all any sinner need. Lord, in wrath, remember mercy, as one prophet in Scripture prayed. Now, lastly, let me give you this. Here's the answer to the prayer of faith, found in verse 43 of Luke 23, verse 43. And the Lord said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now, here's the answer to the prayer of faith. Today. Today you will be with me in glory. Now, we had a paradise once. The first Adam had a garden that God prepared. And Adam sinned against God. Adam rebelled against God. And we lost that first paradise. But my friend, the good news of the gospel is the Lord Jesus Christ has regained and restored paradise. That's what He did at Calvary. He prepared a place for us by His planning, His preparing, His providing at Calvary, dying to put away our sin. In John chapter 14, when He said, I go and prepare a place for you, my friend, He wasn't talking about a material place. He was talking about going to Calvary and by dying as a sinner's substitute and putting away our sin, that He was preparing a place in glory in Himself. Salvation's in a person. By His almighty grace, He not only prepared a place for us in Himself, but by His almighty grace, He prepares us for the place by making us new creatures in Christ Jesus. We read in the book of Jude to present us faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. My friend, never doubt the power and ability of the Lord to save His people. He's able to save them to the uttermost. Salvation must be an immediate and complete act of God's purpose, power, and sovereign grace. God saves whom He saves. When He saves them, according to His own purpose and grace, and He saves all whom He saves wisely, just as He saved this dying thief. God saved and had mercy on this dying thief according to God's own purpose and grace given in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. And my friend, God saves all whom He wisely saves, just as He saved this dying thief by God's sovereign grace. We say with the Apostle Paul, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Now, you see the example and illustration of sovereign mercy and sovereign grace. Here's two men dying at the same time, both nailed to a tree, and one confessed faith in Christ, one called on the Lord for mercy, and the other railed on Him and mocked Him. Now, do you see who made the difference? The difference wasn't in the men. They were both guilty. They were both sinners. Who made the difference was God Almighty. God called one and left the other. If you would like a copy of this message, I'd gladly send it to you absolutely free. You can call or write to me. My phone number is 631-9053, 631-9053. Or you can write to me at 6088 Zebulon Highway, Pikeville, Kentucky.